Okay, today's daf is Chulin Daf Ayin. We are holding on Daf Samach Tesam and Beis at the Mishnah. So we're at the Mishnah Samach Tesam and Beis toward the bottom of the page. It says in the Mishnah, Hamavakeres Hamakasha Leilev. If an animal is giving birth to its firstborn child, so you have issues of Bechor Behema Tahora, of Petarechem, and the animal is going through a difficult labor and therefore needs to be saved in some way by doing something to the fetus. Mechateich Ever Ever, you can cut off limb by limb of the fetus as it comes out. Umashlich Leklavim. And each of those limbs is not considered kadosh, they don't have the kedushas bechar, and therefore you're allowed to throw them to the dogs. Yatza ruba, but once the majority of the animal comes out, hareze yikaver, then you can't throw it to the dogs anymore, then it already has kedushas bechar, and now you need to bury it. Vinifteres mina bechora, and it's pater from bechora, meaning the next baby that this animal has is not going to be the Bechor. The first baby was the Bechor, even though it came out dead and we cut it up into a million pieces. That's the one that had Kedushas Bechor. The next baby that comes out is not going to have Kedushas Bechor. So it says, Mar Itmar, Yotza, Shlishu, Machulav, Chavim, let's say one third of the animal comes out, and then you sell it to a guy, the Chazav, Yotza, Shlish, Acher, then the next third of the animal comes out. The halach is important to realize before we even get into this discussion, is that if there's a shutfus between a Jew and a non-Jew in a Bechor, then it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Kedushas Bechor is only if it's owned completely by a Jew. Typically what Jewish farmers will do, or Orthodox farmers will do nowadays, is if they see that they have an animal that's about to have its first baby, they would sell the animal. They would do like a mechira, kind of like what we do with mechiras chametz. They sell the animal to a non-Jew so that it will take away the problem or the issue of dealing with kedushas bechor. And that way, they don't have to deal with kedushas bechor. But you don't have to sell the whole thing, even if it's just a shutfus. That would be enough to take away kedushas bechor. So says the Gemara, one third comes out. You sell that first third to an Ovid Chavim, then the next third of the animal comes out. So Rafuna Amar Kadosh, Rafuna says that it is Kadosh. Rabba Amar Eino Kadosh. Rabba says, no, it doesn't have Kedushas Bechar, because you have the Shutfus with the guy. So what's the Svar for each one? Rafuna Amar Kadosh, Rafuna holds it is Kadosh, Kasavar Lemafreya Kadosh. He holds that retroactively, that even though, in order for something to be called a Leda, you need the majority of the animal to come out, Rosho, or Ruba of the animal, to emerge from the Rechem, for it to be called the Leda, but retroactively it becomes clarified that from the moment of the beginning of the Leda, that was all part of the same Leda. It's not that only the moment where Rov comes out that Kedushas Bechar begins. The Kedushas Bechar begins once you have a Leda. It's a Glay Mosul Mafreya that the Kedushas Bechar began as the animal was emerging, began to emerge from the Rechem. And therefore, V'kiva D'Nafaglei Rubei, once the majority of the animal came out, Glay Mosul Mafreya, it became retroactively clarified that it was Kadosh the entire time. Umay dezavin, lo klum zavin. So that which he sold was completely invalid. He has sold nothing. That is the shita of Rav Huna. Rabba Amar Eino Kadosh. Rabba says, no, it is not going to be Kadosh. The sale is valid, and therefore it's a shutfus between a Jew and non-Jew, and there's no Kedushas Bechor. Why? Kasavar Mikanu Laba Kadosh. He holds that it's only Kadosh as it comes forward. Umayda Zavin, Shapir Zavin. So that which he sold beforehand was before the Leda. He sold after the first third came out. It was before you had a Leda's Bechor. And therefore, it was a valid sale. And this happens to be Rabba and Rav Huna l'shitasam, because this machlokas rears its head in a different place. De itmar yatsa shlish derech dofen v'shnei shlishi derech rechem. What if one third of the animal came out as a C-section, came out derech dofen, which would not have kedushas bechor, would only have kedushas bechor, just like by pidyon aben, by a person. We're not mechayv pidyon aben unless it comes out in the normal way derech rechem. If it comes out, it has to be peta rechem. If it comes out derech dofen, you wouldn't have that halacha. Same is true by a bechor behema, that if it comes derech dofen, it would not have kedushas bechor. So let's say one third comes out derech dofen, and shnei shlishi derech rechem. Two thirds come out in the normal way. Rav Huna amar eino kadosh. Rav Huna says it's not kadosh because the it's not that the moment of the majority majority is the only moment that matters. It's all the Glay Muslim Afreya from the beginning of the Leda, as the animal begins to emerge. That's already critical in terms of the status of Kedusha. Rabba Amar Kadosh, but Rabba would say it is Kadosh, because Rabba says, no, it's only in the moment when the Rove comes out. That's what matters. So Rav Huna Amar Eino Kadosh, Rav Huna Tameh. Why does Rav Huna say it's not Kadosh? Because he's Lishitaso. Da Amar Lemafreya Kadosh, because he holds that it goes back retroactively. Veruba Kama Leisei Rechem. And the original Rove was not from the Rechem. It came out Derech Dothen. Rabba Amar Kadosh, but Rabba would say it is Kadosh, because Rabba Lataimeh, this Rabba Lishitaso. Dama Mikanu Laba Kadosh, that says that it's Kadosh henceforth. It doesn't go back Lemafreya. Verubo Derech Rechem Nafik. And at the end of the day, the majority came out Derech Rechem, meaning the majority of the animal, when it hit that majority point, it was coming out Derech Rechem. So that's the Machlokes, Rav Huna and Rabba, in a different light, in a different situation. So why do we need to be told the same Machlokes twice? We understand. The whole issue is whether you go Lemafreya or you only go Mikana Laba. Why do you need to give me two cases where the machlokas comes up? So it says Merit Tzricha, we need both cases. Diashmin Baha Baha Rav Huna Mishum Dulukula. Had we only been told the case of selling a third to the Ovid Kochavim, which we brought up right at the beginning of our Gemara, I would say, yeah, that's where Rav Huna is going to say, I'm sorry, had we only been told the case the other way, had we only been told the case of the Shlish Derech Dofen and Shnei Shlishi Derech Rechem, I would say, yeah, that's where Rav Huna is going to say we go back Lemafreya, because then it will turn out to be a Kula by saying that it's Eino Kadosh. Aval Bahach Duluchumra, but in our case of selling the first third to an Ovid Chavim, where Rav Huna's going Lemafreya is going to turn out to be a Chumra, maybe he wouldn't go that far, maybe he would agree to Rabba. V'yitmar Baha, and if I would have only been told in our case, Baha Kama Rabba, maybe that's the only place where Rabba holds his din. Aval Baha, Eimah Modeh L'Rav Huna. But maybe in the case of the Derech Dofen and Derech Rechem, maybe he'd be Modeh to Rav Huna that he's willing to look Lemafreya. Tzricha, that's why we need both cases. We want to show one case where it turns out that going Lemafreya Freya is a chumra, and one case where it turns out that going mikanu lahaba is a chumra. That's the reason why we mention both of those cases, even though technically we only it's the same lundus, and therefore we should only need to mention one of the cases, not both of the cases. Good. That is the that is the discussion of Mafrei Mikan Laba. The Avni Nezer just mentions in a tshuva in Yardei Asim Shin Sadi Beis that there's a Gemara Maseches Bechoros Daf Tes that talks about twins that are born at the same time. Yatsu Shnei Roshayim Bebas Achas. Their heads both come out at the same time. So the Gemara says, well, Eif Sholot Samtzim, that it comes out at exactly the same time. So one of them must actually be a Bechor, because it can't be that they're mamish exactly at the same time. But chatzitza miahavi, but it's still a chatzitza. Rashi says, because before one of them comes out entirely, the other one at least has partially come out, and that qualifies as a chatzitza. The other one is chotzeitz between the first one and the Beis HaRechem. So frek the Avnei Nezer, but wait a second. We paskin like Rav Huna that lemafreyu hu kadosh, and that's what the Rambam paskins in Bechoros Perek Aleph Halach Tezvav and the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea Shin Yotes Sif Beis. So over here also, at the Tchilas HaLeda, there wasn't the chatzitza, because one of them began to emerge before the other one. So just like we go Basar Tchilas HaLeda to Pater when the Tchilas HaLeda is Derech Dofen, so why, Frek the Avnei Nezer, why don't we say the other way as well? That we should go Basar Tchilas HaLeda to be Mechayev when the Tchilas HaLeda was without chatzitza, and the Sof HaLeda is with chatzitza. We should follow the Tchilas HaLeda, meaning if we paskin like Rav Huna, paskin all the way across like Rav Huna. Why is this raised as a shaila in the Gemara in Bechoros Daf Tes? So the Avnei Nezer says that maybe the difference is as follows. The Rav Huna holds, Rav Huna, when he says Lemafreya, it's considered a Leida, the reason is because he holds that when the Tchilas HaLeida is omed to continue along that same path, we view the Tchilas HaLeida as the Leida. When it's understood that if an animal starts coming out Derech Dofen, the general assumption is that the animal will continue to come out Derech Dofen. So even if that doesn't actually happen, we go with the Tchilas HaLeida and we say Derech Dofen is significant. But when it's dealing with twins being born, and one of them starts emerging slightly ahead of the other, but you know that there's another animal in there, and we know that it's going to be b'chatzitza at some point through the course of this leida, so it's not omeid to continue along the path that it starts. It starts without a chatzitza, but it's not omeid to continue along that path, so then we would not, even Rav Huna would say, that you would not follow the tchilas leida alone, and you would say that in fact might be a chatzitza. Okay, Vaita says the Gemara, we're 2 lines from the top and off, Ayin Omer Aleph, Tnan. If an animal, our Mishnah said, an animal is giving birth and it's in great labor, very difficult labor, you cut off piece by piece and you could throw it to the dogs, meaning it does not have Kedushas Bechor. So now, what's the case? Aren't we talking about a case where you cut off piece by piece, you leave it there, you don't yet throw it to the dogs, and then once you got all of it out, the first few pieces that you cut off, you could then throw it to the dogs, because it was not yet born when you cut off those first few pieces, it wasn't yet at the majority of the animal, had not yet emerged when you cut off those first few pieces, so therefore, even after the majority of the animal emerges, those first few pieces may still be thrown to the dog. So, v'yamil marfeu kadosh, you cover me by lay. But if you say that once the majority emerges, we go back l'mafreya, and we say that the tchilas ha-leida is already mekadesh, that you already have kedushas b'char from the beginning of the leida, then how can you take these first few limbs and throw them to the dogs? It should have kedushas b'char l'mafreya, right? That's how Rashi explains. Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, mechatech maniach ad sheyetze arov, that you cut it and leave it until the majority comes out, v'af al gav sheyotza arov, and even though the majority does come out, and you have these pieces in front of you that you cut off at the beginning, you could send it, you could throw it to the dogs. So, says Rashi, I understand very well if you say that the Kedushas Bechor is only from here on, from when Leda happens and on, and before the majority comes out, it's not Kadosh, Lo Kadosh Midi. So then I would understand why the first few pieces don't have Kedusha. But if you say that it's Kadosh Lemafreya, Hakivan deruba kamon, but so then, since the majority is in front of us, iglay milsa b'yitzias harov d'mei kara kadosh luhu, shouldn't that retroactively work that even the first few pieces that came out are kadosh? So why does our Mishnah say you could throw it to the klavim? So there's a kash on Rav Huna. How could you view things retroactively? The Mishnah says beferish you're allowed to be mashal chuklavim. So says Gemara, lo, you misunderstood the Mishnah. We're not talking about a case where you're cutting off limbs of the animal as it's coming out, and then you're putting it aside, setting it aside, and then once you're finished with the birthing process, you throw those limbs to the dogs. Now, in a Kanami, if that were to happen, you would not be allowed to throw the limbs to the dogs. What we're talking about, a case is where as the limbs are coming out, you cut them off and throw them to the dogs immediately. So once the rove of the birthing process has finished, it may be a glay milsim afreya that those limbs were kadosh, but at the time you threw it to the dogs, they were not yet kadosh. Meaning, had these limbs still been around, you wouldn't be allowed to throw it to the dogs now. You threw it to the dogs before, because it was before rove of the animal emerged. If you were to actually cut them off and leave them around, what would the din be? You cover. Then you would have to bury them. They would have kedushas b'char. Frak the Gemara, if that's the case though, if that's true, at the Tana Seifa Yatsaruba you cover v'niftar min amchora, instead of the Seifa contrasting the case of Mechatech and Mashach L'Klavim with Yatsarubo you cover, with the majority coming out and being buried, it could have had a better contrast. It could have had a slighter difference between the two cases and still had a different halacha. Liflog listen b'tidei. Stick with the case we were already talking about, where you're cutting off Aver, and you still could have come up with a halacha even where you're cutting off Aver, where those few Avarim have to be buried. How so? When do we say that you're allowed to throw it to the dogs? That's it. That's only if as it emerges, you cut off a limb and throw it to the dog. Avul mechate chumaniach, you cover. The Mishnah should have said, but if you cut it off and leave it aside, set it aside for to deal with it later on, then the halacha would be, you're not allowed to throw it to the dog, you have to bury it. Why does the Mishnah, when it wants to come up with the case of burying it, it's mimerchak tovi lachma? Why does it have to come up with a brand new case of yatzarubo, or brand new issue? Talk about those same evarim that you cut off as they come out. You could have said in the reisha, if you throw it to the dog immediately, that's okay. And in the seifa, if you set it aside, then it's going to need kvura, and that would be a better way to formulate the Mishnah. So says Gemara Hachinami Kamar, but that's exactly what the Mishnah means. That's really exactly what the Mishnah is saying. That the case of the Seifa is not a new case where Rove has emerged. What we're saying in the Seifa is, if you cut off limb by limb and set it aside, we consider that as if it's already Yatzarubo, and therefore it would have Kedushas Bechar, and it would need to be buried. You would not be able to be Mashuch L'Klavim. Period. Boy Rava. Holchu Be'Evar Nachar. It's a new issue now. Boy Rava. Holchu Be'Evar Nachar Rav. Alo Holchu Be'Evar Nachar Rav. When it comes to the limbs, do we follow the majority or do we not follow the majority? Say Chidami, what are we talking about? What's the case? Gemara has two possibilities what the case might be. Ile Mekogon Sheyatza Rav B'Miyot Ever. If the, maybe the case is where Rav came out with miut aver, meaning the case is as follows. Most of the fetus has emerged, but the reason you have a majority, you have 51% of the fetus, is because included in that 51% is 20% of its right foreleg. 80% of its right foreleg is still inside. So, becoming bile, the shaila is, do you count that 20% of the right foreleg as being out already? Since the majority of that limb is still inside, maybe you should consider the whole limb as if it's still inside, which would mean you only have 49% of the animal that has emerged. You don't have the 51%, you don't have the majority. Or do you say, no, you look at the animal in total and you say 51% has emerged. I don't care that in this given aver, the majority of that aver is still inside. So that's the shayla. Hai miut avroi basarov de aver shadina le? The miut of that one limb that's outside, do we make it? Do we consider it as part of the majority of that limb that's still inside, and therefore consider it as if it has not emerged? Or do we say no? It's part of the larger animal, and therefore it counts together with the rove of the larger animal that has emerged. So it says more pshita de lo shafkin ruba duber vazlin basar rovever. No, that can't be the shayla, because that's pashut. Why would you look at the majority of a limb when you're dealing with an animal and trying to figure out if the majority of the animal has emerged? Why would rov aver be more important than rov of the ubar? Doesn't make sense that that would be the shayla. So that can't be the shayla. Ella, rather the shayla must, that can't be rava shayla. So the shayla must be kigon shiyatza chetzio barov aver. Remember, this is rava who asked the shayla. So rather the case must be that half of the animal, exactly 50% of the animal emerged, but amongst that 50% of the animal that emerged, you have a majority of a given aver that has emerged. So you have 80% of, let's say, the right foreleg that has emerged. So now, if you're going to follow the rove aver, you're going to say, I'll count the 20% of the right foreleg that's still inside as if it's outside, because 80% of that limb is already out. So count it as if that whole limb is out, and if that whole limb were out, then you'd have more than 50%. Then you'd have a rove. You'd have a full-fledged leda. So, chetzio barove aver, come by le ahahu miyut begavoy mahu, lemishtia basa rove aver. The shaila is, what about the minority of that limb that remains inside? Do we consider it as if it's outside together with the majority of that same limb, in which case it would be a real leda? So says Gemara Tashma, Yatza Ruba Reza Yikavar. The Mishnah says if the majority emerges, you could bury it. My Ruba, what does Ruba mean? Ilem Rubo Mamish, if the Mishnah is just telling you when the majority of the animal comes out, you have to bury it because now it has Kedushas Bechar, Ad Hashalosh Mina the Ruba Kukulo, that's the grace of Chiddush of the Mishnah, that there's a din of Rubo Kukulo. There's such a din in Kalashas. We know that there's a din of Rubo Kukulo. No great Chidushim to say Rubo Kukulo. In fact, the Taz in Orchaim, some Tavkuf Pei Beis of Katan Gimel, writes that we always, whenever we want to say Kulo, there's always a double Lashon. Otherwise, we always assume Kulo means Rov. So he says that's why we in the Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, we say Meloch Al Kol HaOlam Kulo. Why do we need that last word, kulo? Meloch al kol ha'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is melech on the entire world. Why kol ha'olam kulo? Because any time you just have kol, says the Taz, by definition it always means rov. rubo kikulo. So you need a double expression of kol if you want to mean everything. Rubo kulo is that pashut. It's pashut in all of Shas. So really, we need our Mishnah to teach me the din of rubo kulo. That's the case of our Mishnah, where Rov comes out and you need to tell me that it has a din of kulo. Says Gemara, Elav gon shiyotzo chetzio beroveiver. Must be that the case of our Mishnah is that only 50% of the animal emerged, but it was 80% of one of its limbs. And therefore, you should count the other 20% of the limb to be mashlim to 51%. So says Gemara, Elav gon shiyotzo rubo b'miyoteiver. Who says that's the case? Maybe the case of our Mishnah is the first way we formulated the Shaila, right? The first way we formulated it, where the majority of the animal came out, but only what was mashlim, the majority was a minority of a given Eiver that had emerged. And it's coming to teach me that we don't follow the Rov Eiver when we have Rov Behema to consider. We'd follow Rov Behema rather than Rov Eiver. Now Tosa Rush points out that even though Rava, we rejected that possibility because we said, come on, that's Pshita, it's still possible that that's what the Mishnah, Rava wouldn't have asked that Shaila. So that, because it's too Pshita. But the Mishnah could have still addressed it even though it's Pshita. Because Tosa Rush says sometimes the Mishnah will address things that are Pashut if it could do so with a very slight variation in the way it formulates it by adding a word or two, the Mishnah will even address something that's Pashut. It doesn't make sense for Rava to ask something that's Pashut. So Rava's Shaila wasn't about where the majority of the animal is out, but what was mashed in that majority was a minority of a given limb. Because that's Pashut. But the Mishnah still might have been talking about that case. Because Mishnayos sometimes do that. That's the way Tosa Rush understands. Okay, now the Gemara is going to present a series of 10 Shilos in regards to whether an animal is considered a pet Terechem, whether it's considered a bechor in the full-fledged form of peterechem. So, frankly, Gemara, so again, one of the dinim is a din of chatzitza. The Gemara is going to question, to what point do we assume that there's going to be a problem of chatzitza, that if the animal, there's a chatzitza between the animal and the beis harechem, that it's not going to be called peterechem. This is a shaila when it comes to human birth also. Someone sent me an email a while ago. Now that I think of it, I don't think I responded to it. But someone sent me an email asking me if it's true that there are poskim that say that if a baby is delivered with, what are they called, forceps, where they have to, you know, widen the beis harechem in order to get the baby out, so that if it's true that that's considered a chatzitza, and then it would be pater from pidyon haben, because it's chatzitza, wouldn't it be called peterechem? So it happens to be that there is such a discussion. For, as far as I know, the majority of poskim say that it would still be chayv in pidyon haben. Nahar Tzvi in Yerodeyasim and Reish Mem Ches discusses this in Nishmas Avram. He quotes from Rosh Hashanah that all poskim that it is chayv in pidyon haben, but that's what the shaila is based on. It's based on this concept that when there's a chatzitza, when there's something else in between, some instrument or something that's allowing the baby to come out, that might be a chatzitza. So anyway, so by Rava, karcha b'siv mahu. What if you wrap the baby in siv? It's a part of a dekel tree, or b'taliso mahu. You wrap it in a cloth in your talis, or b'shliyaso mahu. The baby is wrapped in its own shilya, in its own placenta, right? So, frankly, placenta, b'shliyasa urchihu. That's the way babies are born. What are you talking about? That's going to be a chatzitza. No, el b'shliya acheres mahu. What if it's in another baby's placenta that you wrap it in and you take it out? So that's the shaila. Again, we're talking about baby animals over here. Karachto v'achazasa v'hotziyasa mahu. What if you wrap it up and with your arms and you grab it and you pull it out? So your arms itself are a chatzitza. Hey chidami, idin afik derech reishe patartis. Says, well, if it's coming out head first, as soon as the head emerged, it's already a peterechem. So what do you care that you wrap your arms around the rest of the body? El nafik derech margalosov. Must be the shaila is in a case where it's coming out feet first. Bolaso chulda v'altziyasu mahu. What if a weasel got inside the rechem of the animal, swallowed the fetus, and brought the fetus out that way? So frank namar, hotziyasu ha'apikdei. And Rashi explains, that means that's the same, that's exactly the same as karachto, as having wrapped it up, because it's the same exact shaila. Over here it's wrapped in the weasel. So isn't that the same exact shaila? No, so the shaila of the weasel must be, the weasel swallows it, brings it out, then brings it, goes back in, throws it up back inside the mother, and then the baby comes out on its own. So what's the din? Is that second leida considered a leida? That must be the din. Is it kadosh through that last yitzia or not? Shaila number six. Hidbik shnei rechamim v'yatzim izev nichlas zem mahu. Two female animals have their wombs right next to each other, pressed up against each other, and the baby goes from one into the other and then comes out of the other. Didei pater, delav didei lo pater. Do we say that it's only a peter rechem of its own mother, but it can't be a peter rechem of an animal that's not its own mother? Odimel delav didei nami pater. Maybe you say that it's even a peter rechem of the animal that's not its own mother. Obviously, these scenarios are not the most. Some of them are not the most likely to occur, but it's conceptualizing what the halacha would be in these cases. So very often, when we conceptualize these things, we're able to apply them to situations that actually come up. And understand at least, and it gives us a better construct within which to determine the halacha. That aside from what the Baal HaTanya writes, that even things that never ever come up and that you have no way to actually apply la halacha, at least you know what the Ribbono Shalom would say in such a case, and that means you know the Ribbono Shalom just a little bit better, and isn't that the point of everything anyway? Just to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at least you're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now than you were 3 minutes ago. Okay, so says Gemara now, so teku. So with these first six shailas are all teku. Shaila number 7. What if the walls of the Beis HaRechem open up? What would be the din? Avir Rechem, meaning, and therefore the animal is like sort of just dropping out without actually touching the walls of the Beis HaRechem on its way out. Avir Rechem Makdash Vayiko, Dilma Negias Rechem Makadcha Valeka. Do you say that it's the airspace of the Rechem that's Makdash, or that it actually has to touch the Beis HaRechem on its way out, and it's not? Shaila number 8. Bayi Marbar Ravashi, Nekru Kosle Beis HaRechem Mahu. What if the Kosle Beis HaRechem fell off of the animal? Nekru lesnu, says Gemara, well, if they're not there, they're not there, then where's the peta rechem? El nekru v'tolu b'tzavarei mahu. What if they fell over the animal and somehow became tangled around the animal's neck? So the animal is touching it, but it's the Beis HaRechem is not where the Beis HaRechem is supposed to be. B'mekomen mekachi shalom b'mekomen lo mekachi, odum shalom b'mekomen na mekachi. Do we assume they only have the ability to be mekadesh in their rightful place, but not when they're not in the rightful place? Or maybe it doesn't make a difference. Shaila number 9. B'amin Rabbi Yom Rabbi Zera. Nigmumu kose Beis HaRechem mahu. What if the outer layer of the Beis HaRechem is peeled off? What's the din? Amalei konegata b'bayadi b'ayla. He says, ah! If you could answer the shiloh that we raised, you'll be able to answer that shiloh also. What's the shiloh we raised? Shiloh number 10. Tabai Rabbi Zeir, Varmi lo Bami Rabbi Zeir Merabi Asi, Omed Meruba la Paritz, Vyatza Derech Paritz. Let's say the majority of the Beis HaRechem is still intact, but the animal happened to come out where the Beis HaRechem is not still intact. Or Paritz Meruba la Omed, Vyatza Derech Omed Mai. Or the majority is not intact, but the animal happened to come out where it still is intact. So what's the din? So when do we ask the shayla? That's only if there's still some of it that's still intact. That's where we raise the shayla. But if there's no part of it that's still intact, that's not even a shayla. The whole circumference of the entire Beis HaRechem, the outer surface completely peeled off, that's not even a shayla. That for sure is not going to be considered Pet HaRechem. Okay, Vaiter says the Mishnah. I'm going to have to leave early, so we got to rush here. Behema Shemes Ubra B'toch Me'eha. If a behema has the fetus die inside of the mother, Vahoshit Aroes Yadav Nagabo, and the shepherd sticks his hand inside the mother and he touches this dead behema, the dead fetus. Bein bebehema tmei, bein bebehema tahora. Now the word tmei and tahora over here don't mean what tmei and tahora mean when we talk about tamei v'tahora. It means what the Torah means when the Torah talks about behema tmei, behema tahora. Torah talks about behema tmei, behema tahora means kosher or non-kosher animal. Whether it's a cow or a pig, whether it's a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. Tahar, it's going to be tahar, meaning the way we talk about tahar. It's going to be ritually fine. It's not ritually impure. It's not tameh as tumas nevela. Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer b'tameh tameh b'tahara tahar. Fascinating. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says if it's a non-kosher animal, then the roa becomes tameh. If it's a kosher animal, the roa doesn't become tameh. What does kosher, non-kosher have anything to do with tumata? The halacha is an animal can never become tameh while it's alive. Kosher, non-kosher doesn't make a difference. And when it's dead, if it wasn't shechted properly, it becomes tameh with tumas nevela. Again, kosher, non-kosher doesn't make an ounce of difference. So says Gemara, my time at the Tanakama. So Gemara is going to explain each shita. What's the reason for the Tanakama? Why did the Tanakama say that you're tahar either way? Tosu says, I'll give you a very poshut reason why you're tahar either way. There's something called tumah balua, that when the tumah is completely enclosed and it's not at all exposed to the outside world, so there's no tumah. The tumah does not have the ability to be transmitted. All right, so Tosu deals with that kasha. But anyway, the Gemara asks, my time at Tanakama. Where does Tanakama get the idea that you can be tahar? So I'm Rav Chisa Kavachomer. He says the following Kavachomer. If the mother is enough to be matir the fetus for achila, meaning there's a din of ben pakua, so lo toil lo tari min din nevela, the mother's not going to be enough to be matar the baby from tumas nevela. So it says, yeah, that's great, ashkan b'behem torah, but when does the mother matir the baby for eating? That's only if it's a kosher animal. animal. Behemoth mei minolim. What about a non-kosher animal? Amakrav chiyamos min ha-behemah. Zu behemoth mei. That teaches us about behemoth mei. Asher hilachem la'achla zu behemoth Torah. That's a reference to behemoth Torah. So we see, iskish behemoth mei le-behemoth Torah, that there's a hackish between behemoth mei and behemoth Torah. Ma behemoth Torah ubra tahar. Af behemoth mei ubra tahar. So we darshin that just like by behemoth tahara, the fetus will not be metamei mishum devela. So to by behemoth mei, the same is true. Rabbi Yossi Aglili my time. What's the reason for Rabbi Yossi Aglili? The Gemara is going to have two suggestions. Number one, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Domer Krav Pasuk says v'kol alech al kapav v'kol achaya alechus v'gomer mahalche kapayim b'chaya t'mesilach. Those that walk on kapayim on their feet b'chaya that are inside a chaya, I have been mitame to you. So elameata kalut b'mei para litame d'mahalche kapayim b'chaya hu. So then the same should be true. Meaning what we're basically saying is those that walk without split hooves, those that don't have split hooves that are inside the mother are going to be tame if they're dead. So says Gemara, but if that's the case, let's say you have a camel inside the womb of a cow. So it doesn't have split hooves. You should say it's also tame, and that's not true. Malchei kapayim b'malchei arba v'hai malchei arba malchei shmonu. So says Gemara, no, the drush is only about when you have malchei kapayim inside a mother who only has four hooves and not eight, not split hooves. But when you have mahalchei arba that are inside mahalchei shmona, then that's going to be fine. That's going to be tahar. What if it's the reverse then? Then a para inside a gabal should be okay because it's mahalchei shmona b'toch mahalchei arba. So holich v'kol holich l'rabus par b'me gamel. No, an extra rebuy in the pasuk tells me that that's not okay. Kolot b'me kluta l'tame. But then an animal that is a kolot b'me kluta. Let's say you have a cow that for some reason doesn't have split hooves, and the fetus is also a cow that for some reason doesn't have split hooves. So it should be tame the mahalchei arba mahalchei arba hu. If it all depends on mahalchei arba and whether it has split hooves or not. So l'hachiani kal v'chomer d'Rav Chisda. That's why we need Rav Chisda's kal v'chomer. So maskef lo Rav Achdovi Barami. So Rav Achdovi Barami says still not going to work because chazi. If it all depends on hooves. You know what else has split hooves? A chazir. Chazir b'mei chazir to lo l'tame. De mahalchei shmona b'mahalchei shmona hu. A chazir inside a mother chazir should not become tame because it's all split hooves, so it shouldn't be tame. So Elul Gemara says, no, the reason for Rabbi Yossi Aglili to say that the tame, the non-kosher animal, the dead fetus will be metame, and the kosher dead fetus will not be metame, is the following. Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mehacha Nefesh Kisiga Bechal Tame Abu Nivlas Chaya Tame Abu Nivlas Peim Tame Abu Nivlas Sheretz Tame Vechi Nivlas Peim Tame Metam B'Torah Lo Metama. What does a nevela of a non-kosher animal metame? A nevela of a kosher animal not metame? That's not true. Ela Eze Ze Ubar Shebitmeya Tame Ubitaratar must be that's teaching me the din that an uber inside a non kosher animal is tame, a dead uber inside a kosher animal is tahar. But typically, obviously, a regular nevela doesn't matter if it's from a kosher species or non kosher species, either way, it's going to be tame. Okay, I'm gonna have to stop there because I gotta get to Yeshiva Tov in the building. No shir tomorrow, I'm gonna be out of town for a chasna. Mr. Shem, Tuesday with Daf Ayin Beis.